You're listening to the latest sermon from Our Saviour Lutheran Church in Fareham. For more information about Our Saviour Lutheran Church, visit our website at www.oslc.org.uk. oslc.org.uk. May God bless you richly through his word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 31st chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus Christ, open the ears of the deaf with the word. So open our ears now to receive your word so that we may hear rightly your promises, speak and proclaim rightly your praises, and receive eternal salvation for the sake of the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So declares the Apostle Paul in Romans. Faith comes by hearing. Indeed, very many things come to us by hearing. God, our God, is a speaking God. He spoke creation into existence. And from the beginning, he has spoken to his people. And by speaking, he makes himself known. By speaking, he brings about that which he intends. And having created us in the image of himself, he made us too to be creatures of speaking and of hearing. Every now and then, scientists will report some exciting discovery from the animal world of how the trees communicate with each other through their roots, or how incredibly clever dolphins or orcas are at communicating with squeaks and squeals underwater with each other and coordinating their feeding frenzies or whatever. Or how very good some birds particularly are at mimicking human speech. But whenever we hear of such discoveries, we very quickly realize just how extraordinary human language is. Because those achievements in the animal world or in the plant world are so rudimentary, so completely basic and simple compared to the complexity of human language. You can train a dog to recognize commands, but you will never have a conversation with a dog about what it is to be a dog. And there are all sorts of theories amongst linguists and philosophers as to the relationship between our language and our thoughts and perceptions, and that this is not the place for it, nor am I the person to discuss them. But at least those of us who do have a command of language know that many of our thoughts also are dressed in words. We are able to think beyond words, but very often, and a lot of the time, when we are processing our own inner thoughts, we do that in language. As somebody who grew up in one language and has then moved to live in a country with another language, I get asked quite regularly, what language do you dream in? Or what language do you think in? And it's a good question. And every time I get asked that, I have to think back and say, well, I'm not quite sure. I just think or dream. But the very question itself shows us just how deeply language is embedded in who we are. And when we lose the capacity to express ourselves, we become very severely and seriously disabled. If you've ever been in a conversation with somebody who didn't understand what you were saying, you know the frustration of trying to get yourself across without language, and how quickly the sign language of those who don't actually know any sign language runs out of its capacity to communicate. And we acquire language not naturally. The very reason why we have a mother tongue is because we acquire our language not by being born, but by being embedded in the midst of speaking people. Language is learnt by hearing and imitation. And children in particular are extraordinarily good at this. They were created to absorb language. It's one of my very great frustrations with the education system of this country, that the teaching of foreign languages starts at the age of 11, which is roughly, according to scientists, the age at which our brains no longer are capable of just absorbing language. That's when we have to start really working hard to learn it. We taught children French when they were 5 and just taught a lesson in French. They would just absorb it. No, we wait until they can no longer absorb it. Right, now you're ready to start learning. But therefore, just as important as the ability to form words is the ability to hear words. We learn by hearing. And as we hear, we store that in our memory. And if we hear enough language around us, we begin to make sense of it. Therefore, also, if we don't hear it, we are not capable of absorbing language. And if we can't absorb it, it doesn't become our language. So I've made this point before, but if you've, when you have a conversation with somebody who has been very hard of hearing all their life, there are people who are profoundly deaf who nevertheless learn to speak because they can hear just enough. And it's quite noticeable for in their speech that their hearing is not very good. Because certain sounds that are hard to hear, if you don't have clear hearing, simply aren't there. So if you had a conversation with a person who's profoundly deaf, you know that often there's a distinct shortage of consonants in their speech. And the speech sounds blurred as a result. Because that is how they hear the world. That is what they have heard, and that is how they speak. And this is almost certainly also what is meant in Mark's Gospel, when we are told that there was a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. The literal translation of that term is that he spoke with difficulty. If he couldn't hear properly, he couldn't also speak properly. And not hearing and not being able to speak would have meant that there were great barriers in communication, and therefore great barriers in forming and maintaining relationships with people. Moreover, if you cannot hear human speech, you also cannot hear God's word. God speaks to us. And not only metaphorically, but literally. He speaks to us through the reading and of the preaching of his word. And so this man would have not only a physical and a relational problem on the human sphere, but also a difficulty in a spiritual sphere, in being able to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing. The way that we get to know one another is that we observe one another, spend time with each other, and watch and learn about one another in how we react to things, what sort of things we like. But above all, we get to know each other through conversation, speaking to one another. And those of you who have spoken with everybody in this congregation will know everybody in this congregation better than those who have only spoken with some people in the congregation. And so in also every other sphere of your life. And also our relationship with God is formed in the same way. We observe him, and then we converse with him. We observe him chiefly by hearing of his mighty works. This is why the scriptures are full of repeated tellings of the same things. The number of times that the scriptures make clear that God created all things. The number of times the scriptures speak about the time that Israel was in Egypt and God redeemed them from slavery. The number of times God speaking on Mount Sinai and the giving of the law are recounted. Again and again these things are told so that people might hear and it might be drummed into their minds and into their very backbones that this is what our God does. So that by observing what he does, we may also come to know what kind of God we're dealing with. What sort of a God made us. And then by hearing his words, we may come to know what he thinks, what his thoughts are concerning us, what his will is, what pleases him, what displeases him, what is important to him, what those heavenly treasures are which Jesus tells us to store up. And then having come to know him, we are also then able to speak back to him. So that having come to know him, we will have the right words with which to address him in prayer. As Paul also writes in Romans, that we are saved through faith, by grace. But what this leads to is the knowledge of God and therefore also the confession of his name. With the heart one believes, with the mouth one confesses. That is to say, declares what is true. And this is for salvation. Believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth is how we are saved. And Jesus, ever merciful, has mercy also on this deaf man. But notice how he came to be so helped and saved by Jesus' mercy. Others came and begged him. Others came to Jesus and begged him to lay his hands on him. He himself did not come, at least not by himself. In fact, he was incapable of begging Jesus. He may not even have heard of him, literally. And so others had mercy on him, knew what he needed, knew what Jesus was able to do, and they interceded for him. And having heard their intercession, Jesus took him aside. And then he touched his ears and his tongue and spoke the word, Ephatha, be opened. And then was he healed. His ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And he became zealous proclaimer of what Jesus had done, together with those who interceded for him. Dear friends, here we have a picture, a complete picture, of how God brings a salvation to him through the knowledge of his Son. This man was almost certainly a Gentile, and his very physical disability was a picture of what it is to live in ignorance of God, as the Gentiles did. Having only heard faint echoes of the truth about God, and therefore unable to speak clearly about him, unable to know him properly, unable to address him properly, or to confess the truth properly. Scripture also teaches us, likewise in Romans, that the invisible characteristics or attributes of God are known through creation. All people can see what God is like to a degree simply by observing the world that God has made. But that knowledge does not teach us about ourselves. It doesn't teach us the depth of our sin and the reality that what we see is not proper sight and what we hear is not fully heard. But we only see vaguely and we hear indistinctly. Moreover, observing nature does not teach us of a God who loved the world so that he sent his Son to redeem the world. Nobody ever came to know the Lord Jesus Christ by observing a sunset on a mountaintop or listening to the breeze in the trees in the forest. Such knowledge of God can only be given by his word. But the trouble is, as we can observe in ourselves and in others, that we are in ourselves impervious to God's word. To be in the grip of sin is not merely to be ignorant of God, but to be incapable of knowing God. And unless God opens our ears, we remain deaf. And if you remain deaf, we also will not be able to speak rightly of God. But here is where the grace of God is revealed in its fullness. Just as with this deaf and mute man in the Decapolis, so also with us. Jesus comes to us and he meets us just as he met this man. He touches us and he speaks to us. And he speaks to us not because we are so good, because our hearing is so good, but he speaks to us in order to open our ears. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, sings David in the 51st Psalm. And unless the Lord opens our lips, our mouth will never show forth his praise. And our lips are opened when our ears are opened. And so Jesus sends to us messengers of his word, who will speak to our very ears the word of grace, so that by hearing, faith may be born. And faith is not only born by faith, but is sustained by hearing, but faith is also sustained by hearing. It grows by hearing. Because when we hear the word of God, we hear the promises of God. And when we hear the promises of God, his loving, gracious, and merciful intention towards us becomes plain to us. And not only does he speak to our ears, but he touches us. He touches our ears with his word, but he touches our tongues with the very body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is a man I know, an elderly retired pastor who refuses to retire, who once upon a time did not know the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. And he felt that he did not need to know him because his life was very successful. He was a very successful businessman. He liked cars and he could afford them. He had a wife and children. But in the speed of life was such that he lost control of it. Until one point he found himself living under a bridge, just living for the next drink. And he decided to put an end to it by his favorite method. He decided to drink himself to death. But then one morning, as he was drinking away, waiting for death, he heard a voice calling him by name, saying, "You don't have to drink that." And terrified by his experience, he first went back to his wife, asked for porridge, and then went to the nearest pastor he could find and said, "What happened?" And the pastor simply said to him, "I think you met Jesus. Why don't you come and meet him properly? We have an evening service tonight." And the moment that his mouth was open to declare the praise of God, when the body and blood of Christ, which he received, because he once had been instructed and confirmed in the faith, he received the body and blood of Christ, and at that moment, just the one time in his life, he leapt up from the communion rail, hand in the air, praising God so loudly that it embarrassed the whole congregation. The Lord spoke to him and touched his tongue, and his tongue was unloosed. And he has spent the last 40 odd years going round and telling anybody who will listen, and to plenty of people who'd rather not, of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord opened his lips, and now his mouth has been showing forth his praise, even in his 80s. He still continues to preach Sunday after Sunday. Now that's an extraordinary single story. But that story too tells us what happens when Jesus comes to us with his word and with his touch, with the word and the sacrament. He opens our ears and he teaches us how we ought to speak. This is why the church persists in using biblical language, which is so alien to the world around us. Because, as one theologian put it, it's not our job to try and speak like the world speaks, but to teach the world how God speaks. And in this hearing, God brings the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in his Son, all the riches of God's kingdom are stored and delivered to us. Every promise of God is yes in him. Every gift that has been prepared for the children of God is delivered to you when Jesus speaks peace to you. And when he touches us, he makes us one with himself. All your uncleanness turn into cleanness. All your wants and needs now become his concern. And above all, his life becomes your life. All this because somebody, somewhere, has prayed for you, begging Jesus to lay hands on you. For many of you, that somebody was your parents and godparents, family and friends, or church members. For others, it might have been somebody who took a concern for you later in life. But above all, at all times, the Lord Jesus himself is interceding for us. And the Holy Spirit is breathing, groaning for our needs with sighs deep in the words. And therefore we all too are called to prayer. To pray and to beg Jesus to touch those who do not yet know, who are still deaf and mute. Pray that he would touch them and give them hearing and the right words, the knowledge of his Son and faith in him, of God's Son and faith in him. We are called to pray for them and then bring them to Jesus, introduce them, invite them to church when the opportunity comes to speak of him, so that showing forth the praise of the Lord, it might be heard. This may or may not lead to the result that we would like, but there is no other means by which people come to faith in Jesus except to hear of him. We are called to be a praying people, a praying church, and an inviting church, so that as many as possible might be released from their bondage to deafness and muteness, to sin and death, and be released by the word and touch of Jesus to receive his gift of salvation, and so that they may join their voices with us and with all the saints in heaven and on earth, present, past and future, with the angels and the archangels, singing round the throne of God and the Lamb of his wonderful works of salvation from the beginning of creation until its end. May God grant this to us and to all whom we love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.